Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in Judges chapter 7. The chapter opens up saying, early in the morning, Jerubbaal, that is, Gideon, yeah, Baal Slayer, right away. When I was a kid, there was a video game called Mortal Kombat. That's combat with a K. And there was a finishing combo move that, when it was all set up, had a voice narration that said, finish him. That's how I always hear Judges when he gives this title, Jerubbaal, Baal Slayer. Early in the morning, Jerubbaal. That is Gideon, and all his men camped at the spring of Herod. The camp of Midian was north of them, in the valley, near the hill of Morah. And the Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel would boast against me. My own strength has saved me. Now announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remain. But the Lord said to Gideon, there are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will thin them out there for you. If I say, this one shall go with you, he'll go. But if I say, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, separate those who lap the water with their tongues as a dog laps from those who kneel down to drink. 300 of them drank from their cupped hands, lapping like dogs. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home. So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites home, but kept the 300, who took over the provisions and trumpets of the others. This incident is very significant. On the brink of battle, God tells Gideon that the army of 32,000 people is too big. You know, in military history, having the bigger army is usually a tactical advantage on most battlefields. But when God enters the battle, the rules change. God causes one of the Midianites that night to have a nightmare. Luckily, the guy was a big mouth and blabbered it all over the camp. His friend knew what it meant. It was a large loaf of barley that rolls into the camp and devastates it. Now, the barley loaf was representative of Gideon's tribe. Why? Well, they were bread providers for the Midianites. The Midianites came to Gideon's tribe and took their tribute of barley as payment for not killing him. That's why, if you remember, Gideon is threshing wheat in a wine press when we find him. He's trying to keep the barley for himself so that they can eat. So when Gideon, verse 15, heard the dream and the interpretation, he bowed down and worshiped. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, get up. The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. Dividing his 300 remaining men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them, with torches lit inside. Watch me, he told them, verse 17. Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. Gideon and the 300 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had changed the guard. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars. Grasping torches in their left hands and holding their right hands, the trumpets they were to blow, they shouted, a sword for the Lord and Gideon, while each man held his position around the camp. All the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. The army fled to Beth Shittah, towards Zerah, as far as the border of Abel Mehalah near Tabath. This panic with the dream caused the Israelites to panic. And the amazing thing is that God didn't even need those 31,700 troops to finish the job. They pretty much finished it off themselves as they attacked one another. God just showed what he could do with a few jars, a few torches, and 300 men. In fact, if he wanted to, he could have used nobody. But instead, he causes Gideon to come along and pretty much be along for the ride. The amazing thing about this strategy is the jars hid the flames until the last minute, so that when Gideon and his army began to shout out and crush the jars, suddenly flames appeared, 300 torches from all around them, looking like they were surrounded by a very large army. Even without God's supernatural help, this was a genius intervention. Of course, it would have helped if he had thousands of troops behind you. They totally needed God for this. The surprise attack factor and the fact that they weren't able to see the army or where it was coming from meant that they began to attack anything that moved, largely each other. Charles Spurgeon, in his classic devotional morning and evening commentary, comments on this chapter. Now, since he was my version of Through the Word when I was a teen, before Through the Word was invented, allow me to share a little of his wisdom with you. Charles Spurgeon says, "Gideon ordered his men to do two things. Covering up a torch in an earthen pitcher, he commanded them at an appointed signal, break the pitcher and let the light shine. Then sound the trumpet crying, 'The sword of the Lord in Gideon.' This is precisely what all Christians must do. First, you must shine. Break the pitcher that conceals your light. Throw aside the bushel which has been hiding your light and shine. Let your light so shine before men, let your good works be such that when men look upon you, they know that you have been with Jesus. Then there must be the sound, the blowing of the trumpet. There must be active exertions for the ingathering of sinners by proclaiming Christ crucified. Take the gospel to them. Carry it to their door. Put it in their way. Do not allow them to escape. Blow the trumpet right against their ears." Okay, maybe don't do that. "Remember that the true war cry of the church is Gideon's watchword, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. God must do it. It is his own work, but we're not to be idle. Instrumentality is to be used. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. If we only cry the sword of the Lord, we'll be guilty of being idle and lazy. And if we shout the sword of Gideon alone, we will manifest idolatrous reliance upon ourselves. We must blend the two in a practical harmony, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. We can do nothing by ourselves, but we can do everything with the help of our God. Let us therefore in his name to go out personally and determine and serve with our flaming torch of a holy example of a life that burns for God, and with our trumpet tones of earnest declaration and testimony, God shall be with us, and Midian shall be put to confusion, and the Lord of hosts will reign forever." It's been an honor for me to share a little bit of someone who helped my faith grow immensely by explaining the Word of God to me. And of course, he lived 150 years ago. And yet, being dead, he still speaks. Just like the characters in the Bible, just like Gideon. And you, believer, as you step out in faith and you trust God, who knows but the things that you end up doing might be spoken about years from now, like so many other great characters throughout the halls of church history that have trusted God just like Gideon and just like you. Well, read Judges chapter 7 today, and as you do, remember, for the sword of the Lord and for Gideon.
Join us next time as we continue the journey one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.